Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Sally Olcordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. As you know, there are exemptions being taken away throughout the United States for people to reject vaccines. And you probably already know by now, because I've done maybe 7 interviews with people from Australia, that they are targeting the people who are receiving subsidies for their children to attend school, and they're saying you will no longer receive these subsidies unless your children are fully vaccinated. Well, now the same thing is happening in Israel. They are going to vaccinate the ultra-Orthodox and Bedouins, according to an article that I had read about this. Of course, they're saying they're doing it for their benefit, but they will deny benefits to people who don't accept these vaccinations. And these are the populations that are rejecting them, not totally, but if there is a low incidence of vaccines and vaccine-related diseases, it is in the ultra-Orthodox and Bedouin populations in Israel. So I'm about to pick up Dr. Tony Bark, who it is my honor to interview. Hold on just 1 minute, please. Hello, Tony.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you?
Well, I was very excited to see message or response to the article about the basically forced inoculation of the
right.
ultra-Orthodox and Bedouins in Israel. And you responded to that, and it really captured me. And I just announced that you are Dr. Tony Bark, but I did not say what your specialty is, or because I don't know.
Right. Okay, so that's fine. I'll give you a little background, and then we can talk about the issue. I went to medical school. I trained in pediatrics. I actually trained at NYU, and I did my internship in peds at NYU and Bellevue. I did a year of rehab medicine there. I then went to live in Israel. I left medicine for a few years and lived in Israel for a few years, where I was doing all kinds of other things, not medicine. I was actually acting and dancing and teaching dance and in the food business and traveling all over the country. And then I came back to finish medical training, and I finished my pediatric residency at University of Illinois. And out of residency, I was given the opportunity to take over the directorship of the pediatric emergency room at University of Illinois at Michael Reese Hospital. And since then, I have taken up more naturopathic means and went back to study classical homeopathy and nutrition and a bunch of other things, biofeedback. And I've gotten a master's in disaster management and have responded to earthquakes and cholera epidemics and things like that. So I have a private practice where I see adults and children, and I do, you know, all sorts of things. Basically, I'm getting people off medication and getting them healthy and getting them away from their disease process. But I've been quite involved with the politics of policy making, and quite involved in exposing the conflicts of interest in public policy around health and food in this country, and getting involved with other countries as well. And I am the co-director of the movie Bought, which has been out for the last several months on corruption in food and pharma. And I was in Gary Noel's movie Silent Epidemic on vaccines. And I'm working on another project right now, actually. So I'm very involved with health policy and food policy in different countries. Of course, I'm the most active here in the United States, but I've been keeping an eye on Israel. The interesting thing about this is that Israel has no mandates. So there is no mandate for vaccination to begin with. You can go to public school. It's not something that you have to sign a waiver for. There's recommendations. I think the one that they really highly recommend, they recommended polio years ago. They think they recommend the MMR. There's recommendations, but there's no mandates, and they don't have all the recommendations we have. I mean, flu shots are not so popular there, and I don't know, but I don't think the chickenpox vaccine is quite popular there either. And so, And they've had issues looking at HPV, you know, looking at the issues with the HPV vaccine. They do have it. They didn't rescind it like Japan and France and Italy, but there has been a lot of negative press about it. And as we, some of us following the issues, Yehuda Schoenfeld, who is a very, probably the most renowned physician on autoimmunity and was at the NIH for 30 years, is in Israel and does his research out of Israel, and many doctors flock and researchers flock to his lab to look at autoimmunity and specifically autoimmunity secondary from vaccination, not just for the adjuvants, but vaccination in general. So the background is quite unusual that there's no mandate, and yet they're linking the ability to achieve, to get your public aid to vaccination when it's not even mandated for anyone. So that's what I find so unusual. And opposite to our country, it is the Likud. So it is their right wing. It is their, they have a coalition right now with center right and right wing, including some of the religious groups that are actually, that made this mandate, that made this law, that want to make this law and enact it. And as opposed to the Zionist movement, the Zionists and the labor parties, which are more on the left, who haven't been for this, and the all the institutions that are for children's welfare are very much against this new law, very much against it.
Well, that's interesting. I'm glad to hear that. But I never know when they talk about children's rights really where they're going with it, because so often children's rights mean you take away the rights of children and families.
Of course it does. Well, and it's so interesting. Yes, I mean, Sally, Israel, you know, the state of Israel, and even before Israel was a state, you know, British Mandate Palestine, you know, in the 1800s, already, you know, there were so many Jews there and Jews coming there, and they, it was more of a communist and a socialist mentality. And so even though, you know, Israel historically has been socialist, with socialized medicine, like all the other socialized countries, they don't mandate vaccination. We're really, it's only this country and South Korea that has mandated vaccinations for the most part. And so it hasn't been in their psyche, you know, it hasn't been in the zeitgeist to have that. And yet this is what's going on. And my suspicion, and I don't know all the backstories there, my suspicion, because this isn't the first time this has come up. This was pushed, this came up to the forefront 6 years ago. And it was a debate and it was knocked down. And my suspicion is that pharma's behind this, that, you know, like everywhere else, politicians are easily bought, and that, you know, in this country, it happens to be the left-wingers, especially since Obamacare. I mean, Obamacare really, if pharma was paying off both sides of the aisle, which they still do, but they really got close in bed and intimate with the Dems since Obama. And because it was the Obamacare, that 11 or 1,200-page document is so beneficial to pharmaceutical industry and healthcare in general. And it is the legislation that we're seeing, the draconian legislation in this country, is coming from the left, not from the right. Where so in Israel, what you're seeing is this is coming from the right, not from the left. And I do think it has to do with who's in bed with who from a corporate or an industrial standpoint. That's my suspicion. I don't know. I can't back that up. I can back it up here in this country. I can't back it up in Israel. It's just my suspicion.
Well, as far as I can see, the Republicans are tied to the war industrial complex, and the Democrats are tied to the pharmaceutical industrial complex.
I like to say the Republicans have been bought off by the polluters, the external polluters, and the Dems have been bought off by the internal polluters.
Well put. I like that even better. Well, so you lived in Israel for a while.
Yeah.
And what
I did.
What do you think there? I haven't really read anything yet because this is so new on the reaction of the people in Israel.
You know, I don't know. I just was speaking to my ex-sister-in-law, but she's here. You know, she thinks it's horrible, but she's quite enlightened. And she said that, you know, there's a lot of people. The average Joe in Israel, she doesn't believe, understands the issue. Like, you know, the movement isn't quite as big there in terms of they have GMOs there. You know, it's not like Europe. It's like here and in Canada, there's GMOs. You know, there's not a big movement away. Now, there is, so the third group that doesn't vaccinate are the upper class, right? There's the intelligentsia upper class. They also don't vaccinate, but they are not dependent upon public aid. You know, that's the wealthy kind of intelligentsia. They don't educate for their own reason, for different reasons. And their reasons are the same reasons the same groups here don't vaccinate, which is they know better. They've done their due diligence and read, and they have realized that there's a lot more risk than we realize, than being advertised. And so that's the third group. But, of course, they're not going to be negatively affected. And, you know, there's also a lot of charged feelings around the Haredim, which are the ultra-Orthodox, not as much around the Bedouin. And so the difference is this. Many listeners don't understand this. So a lot of Bedouins are in the Israeli army. I mean, Israeli army, Arabs go to the Israeli army by choice. Bedouins go by choice. They can't be forced into it if they're, you know, if they're part of the Arab population. But there are many. And the whole tracking, the trackers, the people that are trackers and that make careers out of the army are often Bedouins, whereas the ultra-Orthodox historically didn't go to the army. And this is, now, there's new, there are some going into the army, but that's very new. Historically, the Haredim did not partake in the army, and so I would say that there was no love lost with a lot of people towards the Haredim, with, you know, like, they would be like, well, you know, they don't contribute to society, but you know, I don't know what the current feeling is because that has changed, but it is very new that the ultra-Orthodox are serving army time. It's and that's by choice, I believe, and it's very new, and there's probably ultra-Orthodox that don't. The Bedouins, like I said, there's a large group of Bedouins that definitely go to the army. Their parents went to the army, you know, their fathers, and now actually the daughters are going, and now there's female Bedouins going into the army as well. And so they have always been, I think, a little more respected or liked because of that, because a lot of people felt that the ultra-Orthodox weren't pulling their weight. Now, that's from before. I don't know how the feeling is now, but I know that, you know, so there's a lot of people that don't really know what's going on. They don't pay attention, kind of like in this country. I don't think that most people understand there's 115 bills occurring in 35 states to do away with exemption rights. Regarding vaccination. In fact, most people don't know about it. So it's the movement, people involved in the GMO and the food movement that are keeping track of these things. And that movement in Israel is not so big.
Wow. You are amazing. You're a dynamo. And I'm thrilled because within 1 second, you can say more than most people say in an entire conversation. But that really is pretty amazing. But anyway, I guess right here in New York State, for example, what is surprising the people who are active, including myself, in the pushback, is that the bills that we have been able to stave off handily in the past are flying through the health committee now, additional mandated meningitis shots for the 6th and the 11th graders.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have the counterpart to AB 499, which is vaccines without parental knowledge. So we also passed a resolution in support of that at the city level, which was appalling. These people, the health committee
appalling.
In particular, and were behind that, and they have been so educated by me, simply, and I've met with them, simply because I was trying to stop the flu shot. But in so speaking, I spoke of all vaccines. So they really, really knew what they were doing when they resolved to support that. I can't give a pass to people who are legislators who I've spent hours, days, weeks, months educating. They are no longer ignorant. So what they're doing is just flat out sinister legislatively. And
well,
I
think that's right. I think it's flat out sinister in the case. In the cases you're talking about, Sally, and you know I've been going around the country and testifying in front of Senate committees, most people that I've run into, most legislators, have been woefully ignorant, didn't understand what they were talking about. They had no idea how many vaccines we're talking about on the schedule. They had no idea how many vaccines were mandated for school in their states. They had no idea of the vaccine court. They had never heard of the vaccine court or the laws around, like, what happens if you're injured. They had no idea about viral shedding and spreading disease if you've been vaccinated, so they really didn't know. But you're saying that you're talking about legislators who actually know the realities, and they're still going forward and pushing this anyway.
Right. And, in fact, they're, you know, by the time I meet with a legislator, they are fully apprised because I send them my legislation with all the ingredients, all of the diseases, and part of the intent, because the intent is exhaustive page, and it's completely digestible, and they all know it. The one person who I've met with who pretended not to know it turned out to be the son of a congressperson who a health clinic was named after, and no doubt he's on the board. But I didn't realize, he looked at me with large, wide eyes, absolutely amazed at everything, and I said to him, do you have any kids? And he said, I have three girls. I said, well, do not give them that HPV vaccine. And he said, I would never. And then I looked at him like, oh, really? It was all a huge surprise, was it? Then to find that he probably sits on the board of this health clinic, and practically all they do is give vaccines. So he would never give
that vaccine to his girls, is what he said.
Well, what I'm saying is the one person who feigned ignorance turned out
knew enough not to give that to his vet girls.
Right. The most powerful probably sits on the board of this vaccinating health clinic named after his father, you know?
Right. Right. Well, you know, I think that we have to get smart and start telling people, if you know that it's damaging, then this is willful misconduct. And while people are immune from liability, doctors are immune, the vaccine manufacturer are immune, theoretically the state's immune, but except for willful misconduct, that is something that we can sue people on. And I am really right now all about looking at ways we can sue legislators, doctors, and the vaccine manufacturers on willful misconduct, as long as we've documented, we know. You know, I sent a letter to ACOG, the American Academy of Gynecologists. They, you know that the CDC recommends flu shots for pregnant women, and then the inserts clearly state not for pregnancy, never tested for safety in pregnancy. They're class B or C drugs. So a bunch of us sent in, you know, letters to ACOG, you know, the American Academy of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, regarding this. And they said, well, you know, we said, aren't you concerned, one, that they're not tested in pregnant women, and two, that they're using a group, you know, a large vial with thimerosal. And they said, well, we don't really consider it. There's no evidence that thimerosal is dangerous. And I sent a photo of the bottle, which has a skull and crossbones. And I sent the verbatim what the MSDS, the material safety data sheet, says on thimerosal, which is that it's a mutagen, a known mutagen for mammalian somatic cells, which basically means it causes birth defects. I mean, that's what it means. So I said, well, here's verbatim from the MSDS, and here's a photo shot of the skull and crossbones on the bottle. How much more information do you need? And they wrote back again, we've decided that it's safe based on what we know, and if any other information comes our way, we'll change our mind. So I feel like writing them and saying, well, okay, from now on, you know, if you continue to recommend this, then it's willful misconduct.
Well, I would like to say that I just updated my blog 2 days ago, and I'm going to only read you 2 sentences of it, but they're key. It's called Change the Conversation and Win. Has it ever occurred to you that the plan is to get us to squabble over the issue of vaccine choice instead of the glaring reality that it is a crime, that a crime is being committed against our children? Choice is a safe issue if you are committing a crime, which people who are injecting our children with poison are doing. Plan is to get every creature on Earth fully vaccinated by the year 2020. This includes adults, too, but it has all along included children and animals. So I'm saying we have to change the conversation. This is a crime, period.
Right.
And you must go to jail. Poison should be illegal. Why isn't poison illegal? Poison should be illegal.
They're bioweapons. Can you imagine if you contaminated your city's water with the ingredients of a vaccination? You would be arrested for bio. I mean, these are bioweapons, right? I mean, they're live viruses that can kill and do kill. People do die all the time from their vaccines. You know, we have I'm totally apprised of the cases at the vaccine court, and I highly recommend anybody who's interested in the vaccine court to read Wayne Rhodes' book called The Vaccine Court. It is an eye-opener to the nth degree. But, you know, I have a case right now in the vaccine court. It's people don't realize that these live viral vaccines spread virus. I had a case of measles. One of my patients, she's German. Her family's been here for years. And because they went for their green card, they all were forced into vaccination. She got the MMR, the daughter, and, of course, 5 days later had measles. You know, I mean.
They're now pushing the HPV on immigrants, I am told.
They've been doing that for a long time. Actually, that is not new. That's been a deal for a long time where they really push it. I think right now, in order to get your green card, you have to get a flu shot. You could have been here 10 years. You go to get your green card, you need a flu shot that year. One flu shot. I mean, what is that doing? It is so crazy. What a deal, right, for the industry. You know, they pad people's pockets. Okay, everybody wants to immigrate here. The day they get their green card, they got to get that flu shot. And if they're under a certain age, they got to get the MMR. And if they're a certain age, they have to get the meningococcal vaccine as well.
Well, I interviewed one woman, as I say, who did immigrate here, and she had like 9 shots. And she was saying you get them all on one day.
Oh, yeah, it's never been tested.
And now that they've added the HPV, then you get those 3 shots, I presume, on one day, too, if they're administering everything on the same day.
I can't verify that. I don't know that that's the case, but it's insane. I mean, we all know how crazy that is, right? I mean, this is, I can't imagine it's, so one, it's to create money. You know, one, the government collects 75 cents on every shot. You know that, right? It's a tax they get to collect and keep for running the federal court, for the vaccine court, which they've collected about $7 billion. They've paid out $3 billion. There's $4 billion. We have no idea what's happened to it. Wayne Rhode has tried under FOIA to get the information. We've gotten no information. So the government makes money. This, you know, the CDC, as we know, and what came out recently, the British Journal of Medicine acted so shocked that the CDC is taking money from industry. I think they feigned the shockness. You know, the CDC gets money from industry. There's people there who are making millions, working in a joint effort. And then there is making the chronic population, right? So if you can vaccinate everyone, one, you can never prove that vaccines cause anything, right? Because if there's no unvaccinated population to now look at, just like with GMOs, there's no traceability, there's no liability, there's no accountability, there's nothing. You have to have an unvaccinated population to look at and see what vaccines are actually doing. And if you do away with that population, you'll never, ever, ever go backwards and be able to tell. And you also know that you're going to create a whole series of new patients with chronic autoimmunity, because we know how autoimmunity is studied at universities, at Northwestern, in Japan, at all kinds of universities. The departments that research autoimmune disease do so by vaccinating lab animals with pediatric vaccines repeatedly, and that's how they induce autoimmune diseases. You can look that up. That's the reality. So we know that it's a big boon for the pharmaceutical industry, because they're creating new Crohn's patients, ulcerative colitis patients, MS patients, rheumatoid arthritis patients. These patients are just gold mines for the industry.
Well, actually, when they mandated the flu shots here in New York City, I told everybody, invest in 2 things, small coffins and private prisons. Invest in those 2 things, because that's going to be the outcome from this flu shot. The children will be buried and the parents will go to jail.
Right.
So this is tyranny. This is flat-out tyranny. And let me just tell you, those mandated flu shots were passed by an appointed panel of a mayor who basically gave himself a third term. So
disgusting. It's disgusting. And Sally, if you look at, like, so, you know, New Jersey was the first state to mandate the flu shot for the, you know, the young pediatric population. And then Connecticut soon followed. And if you follow their flu rates every year, and, you know, the thinking was, well, it's the preschoolers that harbor the disease, right? They're like the cesspool of disease for flu. And then what has that done? It actually increased their flu rates. They are every year number one in terms of, there's 3 levels of flu, like per state, and so they're consistently in the highest level of flu. We've seen an increase in flu deaths in the pediatric population, not a decrease. And it's not doing anything for flu rates. So it has nothing to do with outcome. They don't care about reducing flu. They just want to increase vaccination. This is what we hear from the medical professionals all the time. We have to increase flu rates. We have to meet that healthy people 2020. We have to increase vaccination rates, excuse me. We need to get on board at the 98% rate. That's what healthy people 2020. It's just because. It's not for a better health outcome. It's just because.
Well, this is tyranny, and this is what I'm asking people to stand in solidarity now with Israel in terms of the tyranny that is being imposed there. We have an action on the 20th and the 21st to stand in solidarity with the actions that Australia is taking. But we stand in solidarity with Nepal, who had an earthquake, and you can say, tell the audience what you think of rushing in with 500,000 measles shots.
Insane.
How relevant
so,
that is.
Yeah, so that's crazy. And I have to tell you, when I was trained, which was not long ago, you know, when you have tent camps, you don't rush in with vaccines for measles. You actually distribute vitamin A. So if there's a measles outbreak, you distribute vitamin A. And you do always a big event, a disaster, we distribute zinc and vitamin A, and especially vitamin A if there's a measles outbreak. We never talked about, even when I was doing the Red Cross training, measles vaccine, this was just 5 years ago, was not part of the plan. And it's, you know, it's kind of like I was in Haiti and there was a cholera outbreak, you know, the UN cholera outbreak. And it's the Artibonite River, right? And as they drove up to the Artibonite, through the Artibonite River to get to Hinch, the epicenter, you see people, even this is in the middle of the cholera outbreak, people were bathing in the river, people were using the river to wash their dishes, people were using the river for drinking water, meanwhile it was completely infested with cholera. So what good is vaccinating a million people, you can vaccinate 8 million people, the vaccine lasts a few months, and you're back where you started when that money could have been used for water filtration or sewage treatment, right? So we're not really doing any good for the people. It's just good for the contractors, and the contractors being pharmaceutical industry, you know, whereas it's not as sexy to come in and say we're going to do water filtration or sewage treatment. It's a lot sexier for the State Department to say we're delivering millions of dollars of vaccines to save lives. It's bullshit. It's not saving lives. If they wanted to save lives, they would take that money and they would have a long vision, and they would say, you guys need clean water to live, or, you know, you need the sewage treatment. You need toilets.
I'm starting a movement, not Doctors Without Borders, Plumbers Without Borders.
Yeah, exactly is what's needed. Plumbers and filtration plants. I mean, I know people from the disaster world who have created very inexpensive water treatment devices that can be gotten for $100. A whole village can run off of it. And, you know, that's where the money should be going, so people have clean water, not to vaccinate a few people that'll last a few months. I mean, that's it. The cholera vaccine's worthless, really. It's not, you know, you're back where you started, and with the same dirty water, you're just back where you started. It makes zero sense.
Well, we have to let people know also that when they tried to, the people of Haiti, who tried to sue the United Nations for the spread of cholera, we're told the same thing that we're told by the pharmaceutical industries. You can't sue us. We can just act in these rogue, outrageous fashion, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with that lawsuit, and that was a very sad...
Ban Ki-moon said, we are untouchable. That's what he said. You can't sue us.
Yeah, it's very sad. I mean, you know, it was the Nepalese, and it was all inadvertent. The Nepalese really were innocent in it. They had no idea. It's not their fault that the toilet set up. I saw the toilet. The toilet set up on their camp was right at the edge of the Artibonite and was just draining right into it. And they are, it's an endemic in Nepal to have that strain of cholera. And Nepalese, because there's not much industry for Nepalese, they have a much higher proportion of people that go into UN work. And so there's a lot of Nepalese. There were a lot of Nepalese in Haiti at the time.
Themselves, themselves that are spreading it. I mean, they're injecting just with every other vaccine. They're spreading the virus they're claiming to prevent. So even though they were accusing the workers of being carriers, is what they were saying. In fact, if you're injecting cholera vaccine children, you're injecting cholera into children.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know that it's a live bacterial. I don't think it's a live bacterial. That's not what happened. I mean, it was the toilets that were leaking, and it was they weren't using the vaccines first. I mean, first came the cholera. So it was actually, I mean, I was there and I investigated it and I did a whole paper on it. I mean, the truth is that was the Nepalese are endemic. Cholera is endemic. They did bring it over, and their toilet was draining into the river. And so the vaccine wasn't being used then. The cholera outbreak wasn't from the vaccine. It was actually from the Nepalese bringing it there inadvertently. Again, I'm not blaming the Nepalese. I'm blaming the U.N.
Well,
and their contractors.
The UNICEF went in with five other vaccines. I know. I met the.
Oh yeah, UNICEF. Horrible. Right. Well, that's another issue. I mean, UNICEF's another issue, and you know, going to Nepal with the MMR or you know, a measles vaccine, a live measles vaccine, makes no sense. They weren't having measles outbreaks. It was just an excuse to spread more vaccination. If you can get autism everywhere, then you can't. And if you can do it and if you can create it in younger and younger ages, then it's just, you know, this genetic thing that we're just identifying better, right? I mean, that's really where pharma wants to go with it. That's why we're giving pregnant women flu shots. I mean, I know that sounds so crazy, and if I had heard somebody say that 20 years ago, I'd be like, oh, my God, they're so crazy. Like, that is just a crazy, like, no way. But I can tell you that the concept of pushing the flu shot on pregnant women came out of the Simpson-Wood meeting, which is when the CDC discovered the earlier the exposure to thimerosal, the greater the risk for autism, and then they said we should be recommending the flu shot to pregnant women. And I was sitting next to a legal research scholar who looked at me and said, I don't understand that. It should be the opposite. And I said, well, not if you're trying to cover up regressive autism and make it a genetic thing. If you want the public to believe it's genetic, then, you know, you want to expose them in utero. You want to expose babies in utero to the mercury, to thimerosal, not later on. So it's crazy. It's really so crazy. I can't believe I just said that. Because it seemed really, because if I had heard somebody say that 20 years ago, I would have said that person is so effing crazy that, you know, don't even go near them. Really, because I know how crazy that sounds.
Well, there was a tremendous, I don't know if you saw the PowerPoint presentation to the FDA about the Gardasil vaccine, which said prior to the Gardasil vaccine, only women who are middle-aged and older were getting, cervical cancer.
Sure.
And since the advent of this, teenagers were getting it. So instead of pulling the vaccine the way all the countries you just mentioned did, they said now it's time to give to the boys. So
right.
You just have to look at what they're being shown and what their conclusions are to know how tyrannical this whole system is. This is
scary. Yeah, I mean, look at this week, Anthony Samsel's interview from I think Stephen Mitra is his name. You know, Anthony Samsel got the documents from the EPA on when they went to approve Roundup for public use. It had to be approved through the EPA. And so in 1981, they had the documents. And in those documents, it was very clear that the animals they were testing it on, about 30% were getting cancer and almost 100% were getting kidney disease. And the reason that was kept from the public was supposedly under trade secrets. So the only, you know, things that can't be gotten under FOIA, like from the EPA and FDA and those kind of agencies, is that if it's going to divulge trade secrets for the industry. And so that was kept away from the public supposedly as trade secret. And the same thing happened in 2010 when Baxter's flu shot, and I believe it was Baxter, their flu shot was found in Ukraine to be contaminated with live H1N1. And it would have killed anyone it was injected into. And one of the, you know, it was sent to Ukraine, and the lab tested it, and every ferret died. And then they looked, and they found H1N1. Now, when everyone was clamoring, like, how did this happen, the FDA said, we've been told how it happened, and we're not going to divulge it because it would give away trade secrets. But here we go. But here was Baxter with contaminated flu shots that would have killed everyone. Everyone would have had like a very serious H1N1 infection, and it would have actually created a pandemic, probably, or at least an epidemic.
Now, the vaccine you were just talking about, that is that the one that created sterility in Kenya?
What you're thinking of is the tetanus shot. So in Kenya, and it's not just Kenya, it's happened in other places. It happened in the Philippines in the late 90s, and there's a few other places. The tetanus shots were laced with HCG, and HCG is a hormone that you make when you're pregnant. And so if you lace anything with a tetanus shot, whatever you lace with it, you're going to create antibodies to it. So if a woman gets pregnant and has antibodies to her own HCG, she will abort the baby. So they were, what happened, what alerted the doctors that this was going on, the UN came in with these tetanus shots and were targeting women, you know, young girls, young women of childbearing age, like I think 17 to 25, I don't remember the exact age, but they were giving them like a series of them, like five of them within a year. So that was disconcerting. Like, why are we targeting? It's not like tetanus only affects women, you know, so what was that about? And then they looked at it and sent it, and all the tests, you know, they sent them to a few different labs. They all came out positive for HCG. Now, you don't hear about it in the public, in the most media, but the Catholic Doctors Association of Kenya and the Archbishop and the Catholic Church in Kenya spoke out about it, and that's how we all were alerted. But it wasn't the first time this happened.
That is clear malice. That is clear malice.
Of course, clear malice.
Right. Well, you know.
But who's doing anything about it?
Well, I am. You see, this is what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to tell people we must change the conversation. And it must be about the fact that this is criminal and that we are, as a people, allowed to live and protect ourselves, and we are allowed to accuse and arrest and jail people who are doing this to us.
Well, I feel the way you feel. I don't believe that's going to happen in our lifetime. I mean, the UN...
To stand up for the women in Kenya, to stand for the children in Nepal, to stand for the Bedouins,
the children in Israel and Australia.
That's right. And you know, we started this in standing in solidarity with in New York with California, because I saw them get out in droves, and I watched their legislators. I witnessed their vast opposition. And their legislators witnessed it, too, and still voted for it three times running. And I said, wow, boy, if ever you felt powerless, it's having this much, this strong a voice and having it ignored, which is why
it's wherever there is predominant Democratic rule. And I hate to say that. I've been a... basically like a registered Democrat my whole life. I mean, I'm now like, I can't vote for a party that is, you know, forcing psych meds on kids without their parents' permission and vaccines on people without exemptions. I mean, forced medical procedures and forced drugs. It's a nanny state, La'Allah, which is Arabic for, like, you know, Arabic and Hebrew, but it's Arabic slang for, like, to God, you know, like to the nth degree.
Right. Well, also, there's something happening that is, I don't know if you're aware of, and I've only become aware of it because I've interviewed a lot of Gardasil girls' mothers. And they're saying that in the pediatrician's office, and you're a pediatrician, so you may be, they are now the new member of the group is a psychologist who is basically there to tell girls who are reacting to the Gardasil vaccine that it's hormones, or they have a mental problem.
That's interesting
that
because, you know, in the journal,
the girl, you know,
in the Journal of Vaccine, so the Journal of Vaccine, last month there was an article that said POTS disease, a new disease, POTS, postural orthostatic hypertension, hypotension disease, is related to Gardasil vaccines. The Gardasil vaccine is causing it. And that was actually published in the Journal of Vaccine. And the new Danish movie on Gardasil is that they discovered there's this new disease. They have 400 girls with this disease in Denmark, and it's from the vaccine, and it's POTS, basically. So you have fainting spells, you feel faint, you feel suddenly like you can't stand up. You have neurological issues, I mean, it's now, we now have a peer-reviewed article, publication, that Gardasil is causing it, and it was published in the Journal of Vaccine. I mean, this is as mainstream as you can get. And so to have a psychologist telling girls that it's in their head when we now know, and everyone's, you know, and people are in agreement to the point where it's been published in the Journal of Vaccine, and the government of... You know, the governmental, the socialist doctors of Denmark are in agreement that this is from Gardasil, although yet they all say, but we have to continue to use the vaccine, you know, it's crazy because we know it's not in their heads.
Well, there was one case that was so extreme, it'll leave you speechless. This girl had... been given the Gardasil vaccine. She had visited her grandfather, and the pediatrician's psychologist determined that the grandfather had raped her, and that she was having a reaction to this horrible affair.
Oh my God.
Which there's no indication whatsoever, and the girl herself was like, "No, he didn't." And this poor man wound up on trial for raping his granddaughter because she had a bad reaction to Gardasil. This is how unbelievable this is becoming. It took years, and he was finally exonerated of something that he was never accused of.
Oh, my God. It's so, you know, this is what's going on. It's I just read an account of a 20- Yeah,
family,
it's crazy.
You know,
I mean, it's so crazy. Yeah, of course. I mean, this is what's going on. We have to fight this. This is why this country is scary right now. The pharmaceutical industry, more so even than food, and the food is bad enough, and they're basically inextricably, you know, they're really tied together, right? They have such control over everything that happens on the Hill. I mean, they really, really, they're writing the bills, they're presenting the bills, they have the money to pay these legislators to do what they want. If the legislators don't, they know darn well that they won't get money for their next election, and pharma will find somebody running opposite them. This is really where we're at. The media is silent because they know if they run these stories, then they'll lose their pharmaceutical advertisers and also their stocks, because whoever's invested in these, you know, big groups are heavily funded in pharma as well. There's just so much control. So the media, it's a blackout on the media. You can't, if they won't even run stories or op-eds. They won't even print, you know, if you write a letter to the editor, they won't even print them. It's such a blackout on censorship, on the conversation,
right,
that it's frightening.
Well,
that this is the United States of America.
I'm asking you, and I ask everybody, to please get on public access television, where everyone is just as likely to see you as they are Ellen DeGeneres. Always hold up a sign that reads the word vaccines on it so people stop and pay attention. And I'm telling you, this is working. So I hope that you will take all the films you've been in, not just that. Weren't you in Bought as well?
I co-produced Bought, and I was in Bought, yeah.
Right.
I'm the interviewer in Bought, and it was a lot of my research. So Bought is, you know, I was in basically every scene in Bought, and I was in almost every scene in Song with Epidemic. I mean, you know, it's, you know, I've been intimately involved.
Please get this on public access television, Tony. I'll tell you how to do it. Please do this. This is very important.
Interesting.
Because it's reaching the masses, the wildly misinformed masses. And I do
right.
this. I think I made history. I got an autism vaccine injury on the screen and airing with Polly Tomey and Andrew Wakefield on television, where the massive misinformed people are.
Interesting.
So this is our one tool.
Well, we'll have to discuss that off air, and we'll have to have a game plan here.
Basically, I say it so that the audience thinks to do it as well. You know, it's
yeah,
not
of course
just
the audience should do it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Needs to do it locally, yes. But that's the only in America, so let's use it. But Tony, we only have like a little bit over a minute, and I would like you to say something in conclusion, if you would, Dr. Tony Bark, pediatrician.
Okay, so in conclusion, if you're interested
on this program.
Thank you so much. If people are interested in following me, my Twitter handle is at Dr. Sensation, and I often write about food, pharma, and the Middle East politics. And then my website with my URL and my blog is disease-reversal.com. I have not been very active in my blog because I've been very busy on Facebook posting about my Senate travails. And that's Tony Bark, or Center for Disease Prevention and Reversal, or Skin and Chocolate on Facebook. And I am very active But I do hope to get back to my blog and make that quite active again as well. But there's a lot of great information on disease-reversal.com. And I'm in Evanston, Illinois. Thank you so much for having me on your show, Sally, and best of luck.
Thank
Evanston, Illinois.
Solidarity around the world on June 21st and 20th and 21st. And Dr. Tony Bark is in Illinois. Thanks again.
Bye-bye.